Welcome back.
Oh, way too loud.
It's super loud.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a good distance here.
It's kind of tough without the stands.
Yeah, I agree. You got to keep it at a good...
That's probably a good distance.
You think so?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Buddy Critiques.
Welcome back to the studio.
Be cool if we actually had a studio and we had like a on-air sign.
Yeah, like a neon purple. Mm-hmm. You know, some dark tone colors.
One of these days, if we make enough money... Because we know we'll never get it from sponsorships, but put in the money to put, like, have a studio.
You should have said win, for sure, because it is a matter of time.
Yeah.
It sure is, but yeah.
And that toothpick's going to stay in your mouth the whole episode? Or
entire episode.
Because yep. I do think it's going to affect your speech.
Well, I might already naturally have a speech impediment, so therefore, fuck you.
When do you think toothpicks were invented?
1972? Probably about the same time cigarettes were invented. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
Ooh, that is a good topic of discussion, though, around this movie.
It is.
The volume of cigarettes.
Oh, absolutely.
Smoked.
What the fuck is your problem? Sorry, everybody.
What was that?
It was nothing.
You want to clear the air on this? Or?
Please do.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, today we have a first time
for the podcast
event in the studio here in the podcast. We have two guests / observers / listeners. You want to introduce yourselves?
/ active nappers.
What was that?
/ active nappers.
Nappers, sleepers.
ASMR.
Podcast. ASMR. Introduce yourself. Introduce yourself for the podcast.
Napper number one.
Peyton. Are you fucking kidding me right now?
You guys are giving the worst fucking energy around here. Like, come on. Fucking productive studio. You're what?
What?
We are your audience.
I will say that's what kept them alive, though. Like, they are fat. Not fat. They're thick rugby players.
Who's fat?
These rugby players. They've got some skin. We've got some meat on their
skin. Montalvo was a little chunky. What was that? Was that his name? Montalvo?
Yeah.
I got lost in the names. I
don't know about fantastic you. Names, dude.
No, like Alfredo, dude? That was awesome.
Yeah, like Carlitos, Roman. So we're just going to jump right into it because why not? Because you thought you were going to fucking Chile, but you actually ended up in the middle of the Andes. Go.
I mean, group of gentlemen. Rugby players
and we could
teammates,
yeah,
brothers,
blood brothers, dude,
some blood,
shoulder to shoulder brothers, pushing for a communitive effort to
score a point. What is that called?
I don't know what they're called in rugby. Actually, It's not a touchdown.
You ever has rugby like ever been a top like an interest for you?
It has. No, it has, really. I mean, I feel like it's a very camaraderie sport.
Yeah.
And especially being out there with your boys. You know, it's different than football in a way. There's positions.
Yeah, a lot more contact.
Yeah, a lot more contact. Not sure.
Either way, this group of Uruguayan?
Yeah, Uruguayan, correct.
Fellas board a plane to Chile.
Chile.
From Montecito to...
Chile.
Yeah, somewhere in Chile. Santiago or something.
In the last 15 minutes of that flight?
40 passengers.
Yeah, 40 passengers total.
5 crew. They depart.
They departed.
And
I think the number, 5 of them were women, 35 men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think we did see that. You get on the plane. You think you're going from Montecito to Chile to play in a rugby tournament.
Right.
You know, vibes are high.
Yep.
You're excited. You're 20, anywhere from like 18 to 25 for the most part.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you're looking good. You're in the best shape of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then
pretty random college. I don't know, like, how pristine the college was.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But they got a fucking plane.
Yeah.
So they must have been pretty good.
I guess. I have no idea what South America is like. So
no, same.
This was a first for me, you know?
Yeah. By the way, what's this movie called? Snow Society, right?
Society of the Snow.
Society of the Snow.
Yeah, you watch it for 2 hours and 25 minutes.
I will say, I'm glad this wasn't a documentary.
Yeah, but in the way, I feel like it was the best type of documentary. Yeah. Like, you know, they kept the facts there. Like, it felt so... Obviously, it was a true story, but it felt so real.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I love that they kept you updated with, like, time and active death.
Death toll.
Death toll. And
age of death.
Names and ages. I thought that was so interesting.
How did you feel about the Spanish speaking?
I got over it real fast.
Yeah.
You know, I was okay with that.
I feel like the actors were good enough that it was fine.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you told me to watch a movie and that was the case, I don't know if I would. I would have expected it to have more of an impact than it did.
Felt a little more authentic, though.
It did.
You know?
Certainly did. So, so it's things start getting a little rocky.
Yeah. It's been about a day delay. I think we should mention that to the listeners. So we watched this movie yesterday night.
Half.
We watched half of it, and then we finished it this morning here.
Yes.
So I guess the immediate after effects have been subtle. They've been.
There's been no discussion though.
What word am I looking for? Yeah. Discussion. What word am I looking for though? A little, not dampened. I'm at a loss for words. Simmered down? Nope. Somewhere in that
watered
direction.
Watered down?
Watered down, I guess. Melting water at -25 degrees.
So the plane obviously crashes.
You're with your boys.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Plane goes fucking down. And it's not pretty. Actually, it doesn't go down. It goes up, clips a mountain, and then slides down the mountain for roughly 65 kilometers. And I pulled that out of my ass.
Boy. Yeah, probably like, I don't know, over 10 miles.
A few people die on impact. I can't believe how many people survived.
Dude, all right. We need to just break down this first scene, this first traumatic scene.
Yeah. The cracking. I mean,
were you buckled up before that? Because I don't think you had your buckle on.
No, not really.
No, and that fucking whole scene just rocked your world, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, hit you right in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus fucking Christ, they did a great job.
Yeah, they did.
It was, I felt like, so I was in the plane, you know? I heard it. I felt it.
A lot of crunch.
Oh, my God. I tasted it a little bit. I mean, that's when I knew, like, Jesus, this movie has a lot of potential to be completely fucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of our observers last night, she used the word jarring, and I thought that was extremely accurate.
I agree.
To define the scenic catastrophes.
Yes.
It was great. It was great.
So they... obviously, after the commotion, the panic ensues.
So you went from having a great time,
yep,
to absolute panic, and half your plane is missing and
dead and freezing. I can't think of a worse situation to be in, like, to be quite honest. If you're stranded at sea, that sucks.
So I compare this to the ocean, yeah, for sure. Like I feel like that'd be the equivalent.
The ocean at night with like waves, that's fucked up. It's so unpredictable.
So unpredictable.
But you're not, and you could also still be cold in that situation too. So I guess
You're wet, and you can't fucking swim or breathe underwater. So
right,
a little bit different there. But I do think I'd rather be in the Andes.
I guess you could, because if you're moving, like you saw how during the day they had their shirts off and shit. It's probably better than the ocean.
100%.
Right.
100%. Or the desert.
What, you're saying better than being in the desert?
Well, if you compare it into those... Are you in or out? Are you fucking in or out? We weren't going to let the listeners in on this, but, you know, we do have a crowd. We do have a live audience today.
Our first live audience.
First live audience.
Audience being more than one person.
Agreed.
Half the audience is sleeping.
Half the audience is cozy and sleeping during this... Absolute trauma dump on a podcast here.
The question from an outside audience member was, desert, ?
Desert.
Desert, ocean, mountain. Or frozen tundra. It's tough, dude.
All those are very just
because, like, the jungle, you can, like, you can figure something out.
Oh, for sure. Jungle, you could build, man. You got every resource in the world. Much rather be Tarzan than fucking Sandman.
Froze man. Iceman. Abominable snowman.
Yeah, dude. Negative 25 degrees.
Yeah, that's wild. The opening scene, or not the opening scene, sorry. The first night they spent, like, all banged up, injured, bleeding, and it's just freezing. And people just dying of frost.
Just absolutely chattering to death.
Dude, I can't even believe.
Just slowing down. Death. Like, your pulse is just being frozen, slowing down.
Like, imagine how cold it has to be for a human body to completely freeze.
You know, in the hospital, when people go into cardiac arrest and, like, get revived.
Yeah.
We use something called hypothermia. So we put these big pads on them. They're like big water pads. And it gets like filtered through a machine. And it's, you use like a targeted temperature. Like we try to chill in between like 94, like, I don't know, 96 degrees, something like that. It's a whole protocol, whatever. But like, I wonder what their core body temperature got down to at negative 25 degrees.
Yeah.
Really curious.
Probably severely low.
I mean, we're talking like Auschwitz.
Heart rate was probably so slow.
We're talking like Auschwitz conditions here, in a way. Like
so low, I mean.
What's that?
I was saying their heart rate was probably so low.
Probably so low, but like you're in such a panicky, like shivering. I don't know, man. I wish all of them had like vital monitors on them the entire time.
I know.
The data out of that would be insane.
Yeah.
When they tested the body's limits.
Big time.
Through and through. Crazy.
Yeah.
So you find yourself
stranded
with half your plane missing, multiple dead bodies around you, unsure where you are.
Yep.
No electricity, no water, no nothing.
No jackets.
No jackets at all. You were going to Chile, dude.
Right.
Go play rugby in the sun. But you actually found yourself in the middle between two fucking mountains in a valley.
11,000 feet in the air.
In the middle of winter. And the Andes have opposite winter seasons than the United States does.
Okay. So October is actually like spring for them?
Yeah, like our winter is their summer, and our summer is their winter.
Wow.
Weird, right?
Yeah. So they kind of lucked out in that case.
Yeah.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Like if it was June, probably would have been negative 40 or something.
Could be. I don't know. I'd like to see some data on that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, man.
It's such a reflective movie. It's like, it's a long movie for sure. Like 2 hours and 25 minutes was super long.
But I think it perfectly.
But there was just so much like, all those little side conversations. Like those are really, really like near death conversations. Like.
Yeah, one of my favorite scenes is when they're going around the plane and they're all like, kind of using like just poetry, like offhand poetry.
Yeah, yeah, like a couple of times and shit.
How would you like label that time spent? Like, not camaraderie time, but like
just.
I don't know. Stranded in an airplane in a traumatic event.
Yeah.
Time.
Super traumatizing.
Like apocalyptic time passing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Freeze time.
Yeah, so everyone freezes that first night. And you have no idea where you are.
Immediately go to body warmth. Smart. I would have somehow tried to make a fire. I was a little bit surprised.
Right, because it's a lighter. Like,
I understand there's no sticks and shit like that. I get that. But there's a lighter.
I thought they'd make cigarettes, fire all the time, yeah.
Light something on fire.
Yeah.
For some sort of warmth. Right. Light somebody on fire.
Somebody on body.
That's what I'm saying. Fire, yeah. Like, I mean, hair burns.
I don't know. It probably smelled.
It's kind of fucked up, but.
But if you're concerned about smell.
If you're going to die from freezing, like.
So you want to just jump right into cannibalism? Because.
You want to open that can of worms?
Oh, my God.
So Peyton called the shit out of that at the start. She was like, I feel like this is going to end in them, like, eating each other. And I'm like, no fucking way.
Yeah, like, I really didn't
honestly
believe
thought
that.
No way. Because generally you only hear that when people are talking about, like, what they would do in a situation, like, on a deserted island or something. But. To see that in a movie and know that actually fucking happened.
True story.
Crazy, dude.
Crazy. You know, we're not talking about, you know, Buffalo Bill or Hannibal Lecter over here. We're talking about teammates.
Average people. Yeah.
Teammates eating teammates.
Like. Right. Yeah.
20-year-olds eating other 20-year-olds. Like, think about it, dude.
Yeah, it's really fucked.
Bizarre. So what, they were on day 8? Day 9?
I think, no, it was because day 10 was when they found out that the search had ended. So they, like, saw two planes over the course of the first day to the 10th day. Apparently the planes never saw them. They were convinced that the planes saw them. But they didn't. And so they called the search off and said they would look again in the drought season or the, what is it called?
In the melt, like the melting season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So at that point they knew they were kind of fucked and they figured, okay, we're not going to get rescued. So we either sit here and die or we figure out a way to get the fuck out of this. Which is just crazy, dude. But I guess with that amount of people, like, you're not all just going to lay down and die. Like, that's like, there was like, what, 20 people or something? Still alive?
Definitely more than 20. 20, yeah, definitely more than 20.
It was like a crazy group effort. It's clear that, like, the team bonding they had had clearly paid dividends in this situation.
Agreed.
Because did you notice, like, how quickly they adapted to, like, that's our captain, I'm this, you're that. Like, everybody kind of started having a role.
I mean, everyone had the role, yeah.
Which, again, it's like, you would expect in that situation somebody would go fucking bananas.
Like, panic attack. But, like, they're like, kind of all painted out to be, like, kind of just calm. Like,
yeah, they're almost just, like realists about
like, it. Like, let's get through this.
Yeah.
Which, in reality, your plane landed. You have no map, no pilot, no nothing. No radio. You don't know where you are. You have no idea how far you are, legitimately from, like, civilization.
Yeah. Dude, the fucking mini, like, adventures they went on to get more supplies, like finding the back of the plane, finding that radio piece, finding extra food, whatever. Like, those were not easy hikes.
You're 11,500 feet. That's how tall that part of the Andes was, I think.
Crazy.
They fell from 11,500
like, feet. Like, on no food, on no water, or I guess, like, minimal water. They didn't really show, they showed the water, like, you know, dripping into the bottle, but they didn't really show people, like, drinking that often.
Well, eating the snow, I think.
Don't they say you're not supposed to do that?
No, dude. You can. It's mountain water. That's literally mountain water. Snow is like some of the freshest water you can have.
Wow.
If you melt it.
Could have sworn I saw in like Man vs. Wild one time, Bear Grylls was saying like.
I mean, maybe not.
I mean, he melted snow in a cup, but he said like if you just eat snow directly.
Maybe not. Yeah, I'm unsure.
Might have to check on that.
I mean, I eat snow all the time on the mountain, so. Especially that yellow snow. You want to talk about brown snow for a sec?
The black piss?
Yeah, because you were a little...
I was very curious about that.
Yeah, you're very curious. And I think what was so authentic about, like, each character development, you know, it was nice to know that, like, the student was studying medicine, the other student was studying engineering. Like, they really portrayed the characters and, like, what they were at that age.
I definitely got a little lost in, like, who was who. Did you?
No.
I mean, I knew who Numa was
a little bit.
Numa, because he was narrating, but
yeah,
the rest it was like
you just knew faces. You know, obviously
I knew faces, like, but like the two guys who go on the end journey, like I didn't even know their names.
Yeah, but Roberto was the doctor. Yeah, Roberto and Carlos, Pedro. Was it Pedro?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
We're skipping ahead, but
we are.
But
to know those like early on to see those roles,
yeah.
You know,
so. I thought, like, once they kind of figured out, you know, the radio situation, they're like, okay, we're going to eat whatever. I was like, okay, like, they might make this work. Then a fucking avalanche comes out of nowhere.
You thought you were doing fine, right? You thought you had a little community in that plane. Like, ah, you know, we'll be fine. We'll shelter in here.
That was crazy, dude.
Nobody's coming for us. We'll figure it out, you know. Little do you know, you're in the middle of a fucking mountain, and snow is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous element.
Pure suffocation.
It's like quicksand, instantly. But like in the ocean.
Yeah. So just pulling people out, and then they're stuck down there. But somebody said like there must be air coming through because
they lit the flame. The can.
Yeah. Genius, dude.
Oxygen. Yeah, a lot of like really good strategic.
Like I would never think to do that.
Mm-hmm. You did say that last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then he kicks open the window, hurts his leg, and again that's Numu.
That is Numu.
Numa, yeah. And they find their way out of that Which I, dude, it just seemed like there were so many moments that were like morale boosts for the group. And I feel like that's what helped them stay alive.
I mean, a lot of,
like, they got like organic energy from that almost. Like, they didn't need food and water to have that. It was like moments of celebration, like triumph.
Society. Wow. Society building.
Wow.
I mean, society in the snow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
A little community. I mean, 20 people is a lot of fucking people.
It is, dude. That is
five people, that's a group. 10 people, that's like a big party. 20 people is like a little village.
It is, honestly, dude. Yeah.
So, how do you feed 20 people? I mean, how many bodies did they legitimately have to feed on?
At least fucking 7 or 8, I feel like, right?
And how many days in would you think that thought would ever come across your mind?
I definitely think, like, I was thinking during the movie, like, what would I be doing, thinking in this situation? I think I would probably do what the group thinks. I don't think I'd be much of, like, an individualist in that situation.
Right.
Like, if the group was like, we need to do it, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
You have your individual opinion to the group. Are you just going to be
right, agreeable? But I would agree with the group. If the group was like, we need to do this to survive, and I would be committed to surviving, I would have to do it. I don't know if I'd be the guy who's like, I can't.
Numa was.
I know he was.
For the longest time, I think.
Yeah, and then he took a nibble.
Yeah. Man.
Fuck. It's tough, man. It's really fucking tough.
Well, the fucking Strouch cousins are low-key.
But it's like, what do you have to live for? You know? If you feel like you'd have nothing to live for, then you're probably going to be like, fuck it.
Well, me and Nat were saying, like, would you rather just be dead?
Right.
Would you rather have just died than right. suffered for 71 days?
Right. 71, dude.
Or eat your loved ones piece by piece by piece. Sun-dried pieces of your loved ones' meats. It's so fucked.
It is, dude.
In a sock. In a sock. A little bag of meat.
Yeah, it's really fucking gross. But clearly had to be done.
Yeah, I think at about the 10-day point. 10-day point, no food is just a lot.
Yeah.
Remember that first cracker they had?
Yeah.
Man.
Like, at that scene, I was like, okay, they're probably going to have a decent amount of food, like, from finding suitcases and stuff. I honestly thought they'd find a lot more useful things in the suitcases, but then again, people just pack clothes.
Yeah.
So.
And pack clothes for
But chill. It brings up a good point of, like, you know, you ban, like, knives and shit like that from luggage. Well, no, you can bring that in your checked suitcase.
Correct.
So, I guess, no, I was going to say, like, if a plane was to ever go down.
Yeah, but half your plane got torn between
true,
the mountain.
True.
Which is so fucked.
Yeah. That was crazy that, sorry to jump back, but that the pilot was like still alive. Remember he was like, good luck?
Yeah.
That was fucking weird. He was like literally dying, like on his last breath.
His last words were important, but it seemed like they never heard him. Like they're about to enter something or they just passed something.
Yeah. But, yeah, just a lot of camaraderie throughout, a lot of side conversations, a lot of cigarettes getting smoked. And that was like, are you kidding me in this situation? But then I'm like, why wouldn't you? You like, you need an escape from the fucking
and it's
torture.
It's 1972, man.
Right.
You know?
Smoking a cigarette is like drinking water, like breathing.
Yeah, really you is. Know?
But, I mean, a lot of the movie... You know, you see, like, a small portion of the group go try to make moves, but, like, a lot of movies just sitting in the agony, which makes sense. I mean, they're there 71 days, so they probably wanted the audience to feel like
the weight
this is long, you know? Like, they're in this for a minute. And I felt that.
I did, too. As long as 2 hours and 25 minutes is, I mean, I think they painted every perspective of it.
For sure.
In the right amount of time.
For sure.
I'd love to give a rating, and then I'd love to just probe you with a bunch of questions.
Okay, let's do it. Do we want to finish kind of the plot here? So, two of them decide to, like, they're going to make the journey to Chile.
Yes.
They're like, fuck it, this is our only way.
A mysterious journey to Chile. You have no idea,
Where it is. You know the direction you're heading, but you have no idea how far it is.
Right.
And, dude, when they left for that, and they, like, obviously built some stuff to allow them to, like, sleep in a little snow. which kind of looked cozy.
A sleeping bag?
The little, like, snow tunnels, snow caves. But what was crazy was, like, when they were making that journey and they got, you know, pretty far away and they, like, looked and there's still a huge valley and so much more to go. Like, what if a plane came and picked up the others? There's no way they get found, dude.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Right?
You're not wrong.
So, like, it's such a risk, not only that they don't find it, but that the other group gets rescued and then those two never get found. But, dude, they just had this, like, crazy perseverance to, like, live, get rescued. So they continue fucking hiking it, eating human meat out of a sock, snacking on it like sunflower seeds.
Would you walk or would you stay with the group?
I'd probably walk, dude.
I'd like to think I'd walk as well, yeah.
I'd rather, like, die trying than fucking die sitting there.
I agree, 100%.
And I feel like I'd stay pretty warm, like.
But the risk of going with too many people on that walk is like, okay, now the chances of everyone getting back
right
in one shape now just goes
way lower.
Yeah, drastically lower.
So then eventually they get far enough where they find a stream and they just start fucking chugging water. And there's a man on a horse. A cowboy, if you will.
Was a cowboy.
And they started, like, throwing letters back to each other. That was interesting.
He wrapped up a piece of paper.
But I guess it makes sense. They probably didn't speak each other's languages.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
So, yeah, they threw letters back and forth, and the Chilean army came in and rescued. So that's how they got out. So I think as a rating, like, I'm trying to think the story, the movie, right? I think as a movie, give it, like, a... like a 7-8. I think, like, the story itself is a fucking, like, 11 out of 10 in terms of, like, the impossibility of it.
Like, the adversity, the inspiration. Yeah, the
yeah. But, like, as a motion picture, as a movie, I'd give it, like, a 7-8.
Really? I was going to go a little bit higher than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to probably give it, like, 8-3.
Okay.
Probably 8-4. No, I'm stuck with 8-4. Yeah.
Okay.
I was very impressed, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it was really good.
I was very impressed. I mean, I was on the edge of my fucking seat, but not too much.
Yeah.
Just the right amount. I was anticipating, like, where the fuck is this going to go next? Like, what right. curveball am I going to get next?
Yeah.
I loved it. It's from a full-on plot perspective. Like,
yeah.
The progression... the energy, the...
I honestly was not sure how they were going to get rescued. I had no idea.
I didn't know. And I had to know.
Yeah. I thought it would have to be a plane, like, somehow saw them or something. But it's crazy they got far enough to, like, escape the snow and run into somebody. That's wild, dude. They probably covered so much ground. I wonder if they, like... maybe we can look something up, like, if we can see how far they, like... actually tracked
realistically. I mean, I'm sure they
but I don't know if they'll be able to pinpoint, like, their exact location of where they were.
They're fucking mountaineering.
Yeah,
pioneers of the snow, of the Andes, of unknown land,
of the Society of the Snow,
of the Society of the Snow. A band of brothers took on all adversity you could possibly take on.
Life or death.
Brown piss.
What are your probes?
What would be your suggestion on what part of the body to eat first to the group?
Probably the calves.
Because, like, that has to be a consideration. Like,
probably
oh,
the calves.
Like, oh, we're going to eat a body for the first time. What are we going to eat first? And, you know, I want to take the human part out of it
right.
as much as we can.
Right.
Just to make it for the, you know, livelihood of this topic.
Yeah, yeah, we don't need to.
I mean, all right, let's talk about a fucking cow real quick, all
right? Right.
What part of a cow do you eat?
What
part of a pig do you eat? The ribs, right?
Right.
And I think the butt is, like, the bacon. But for, like, a cow, like, big fucking shoulders,
right.
you know? There's, right. I mean, they eat the rib meat, too, I think. It's crazy to think you just cut up an animal
mm-hmm.
for the meat. And you cook it, all right? People eat monkeys. People eat dogs. People eat cats.
Yeah.
You can eat anything with meat on it. You can eat a frog. You can eat a fucking chicken. You can eat all these things, dude. All
right. Yeah.
Why would you never think that you can't eat a human? Am I right or am I wrong? I mean, you have muscle.
No, I mean, you're right in what you're saying.
I'm disturbingly right.
Yeah, it's very disturbing.
To consider it from like a chef point of view,
right?
Like, what would you cut up and cook of a human? Because there are real cannibals that live here amongst this world today.
Yeah. I think I would do calves.
I'd start with the legs for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thigh.
Thigh into the glute, maybe.
Yeah. Just like eating fat.
Yeah.
On a steak.
Calf.
Yeah. I'm going to cut this part out, for sure.
Why?
It's pretty weird.
Dude, this is the reality of the movie. Why would you cut this out? The listeners are thinking this too, bro. If you guys aren't thinking this, then stop following this podcast, because this is what we're fucking here for right now. Make it weird. Dive in, dude. The deepest, darkest thoughts you got right now. Dude, did you see all the bones? The piles of bones. Yeah, they didn't hide it from you. I mean, it's the most fucked up part of the whole movie, obviously.
Yeah.
Fingers, ribs, femurs. Fucked, buddy.
Yeah, dude.
Little socks of meat.
I'm really fucked.
Super fucked. Anyways, aside from the cannibalism, which is extremely hot and heavy, sunbaked and all. Survival, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way they made it out.
Story survival. It's crazy that that's real.
Imagine being 25 years old and eating meat for 70 days, and now you're 75 years old to tell a story. Do you think they faced any, like, crime out of that?
Nah, I don't think so.
It all got forgiven?
It's interesting, though. Like, when they got rescued, how the media was like, how'd you do it? It's like, who's going to be the one to say it?
Sorry, Jimmy. I fucking had to eat Carlos over here.
Like, dude, how could you even face their family, friends? Like,
I ate your loved one's body to survive.
Fucked up, dude.
Gave permission.
Right. Not all.
I mean, they made it religious. Like,
yeah, they did. Like a I mean, it sort of is. Or whatever you want to call it.
It's sacrificial. It's
definitely morally fucked up.
Shout out to the fucking, the Shrouch, Shrouch cousins? Strouch.
Strouch, yeah.
Said they were like the unsung heroes to make it okay, to keep the rest of the crew sane.
Right.
They didn't know who they were eating.
Right.
Bizarre,
fucked
man.
Up, dude.
Bizarre.
Really fucked up.
Yeah. So, cover that topic.
Yeah. Did you have any other probes for me?
I mean, I just had to get that off my chest.
Yeah.
You know, I had
to. No, that makes sense.
We had to clear the air. But the avalanche alone, I think, was like one of my most edge of my seat scenes.
Yeah, same.
Because it's just so unforgiving.
Yeah.
In such a crowded space that you were taking shelter in. You get hit with two avalanches, dude. Two avalanches.
Yeah, the second one was crazy.
In the fact alone, the guy with his wife, and he said he has to.
Yeah, that was sad.
Had to step on her chest to get up.
Yeah. It's tough.
I mean, the philosophy and the poetry out of this movie.
I know.
I mean, I want to say it gives great life lessons, but it's so hard to say that because it's just so fucking.
I mean, those moments are
disturbing.
Yeah.
Moments of challenge, adversity.
Looking life, or looking death in the fucking face.
Right in the fucking face. Smoking cigarettes and sitting in a lawn chair in the sun with a bunch of bones sitting around you.
Looking at the beautiful Andes Mountains.
Yeah, man. Like, oh my God. Having no idea what's past them. And then all of a sudden, two fucking helicopters just roll up on you and just scoop you up.
Yeah. Wild, dude. Good story. Good movie. If you haven't seen it and you're just listening because you missed us, well.
Welcome back.
Not sure if you have to see it anymore.
Yeah, you really don't. We give a great plot here.
I think so, too.
You know, we covered the darkness.
It was kind of interesting how, like, cold it made me. The movie. Feel that, too?
Yeah, I did. Negative 25 degrees.
Yeah.
80 to 90 degrees cold.
But, like, even, like, today I was, like, drinking water, and I was like, wow. I'm grateful. Like.
Be fucking grateful.
Yeah.
You ate some fucking steak tonight.
Yeah. Filet mignon.
filet mignon. Imagine eating a filet mignon femur off the bone. Cut up with that piece of glass. Rationalized.
Rationalized. It's fucked.
Rationed, yeah.
Well, thanks for sticking around this long. If you did.
Easy movie to do 2 hours on for sure.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you know, tune in. This is a great film. If you have the guts for it, literally, go for it. You know, I think it's worth the watch. And tell your friends. You know, we'll be here.
We're not going anywhere. Hopefully, be back soon.
Hopefully, Iron Claw. See you soon.
Wow.
Uh huh. We did that.
We always do this, then we never record it.
It's okay. We can do whatever we want, man.
Give us some requests. Give us your feedback. Love you.
Love you guys. Tune in. See you next time.
All right. Take it easy.